Hope you're doing really well. I'm just going to read from the Bible, Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Sorry, did I say Matthew 27? Matthew 7, it's been a long day. 24 to 27. It says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Does anyone here watch the channel Dave? Dave, great channel. It's full of probably two or three programs that are on constant repeat. So you've got Top Gear, QI, probably that's about it. I don't know if there's the other. And so my message tonight is a little bit like the channel Dave. It's a repeat in more ways than one. It's a talk I gave at a youth weekend away a couple of weeks ago. And it's probably stuff that I may have said before. But like Dave, you know, we don't mind watching things over and over again because... you know, it's good. And I'm hoping that the message I've got tonight, although it's one that we might be familiar with, it's one for us to rejoice in, to go deeper in. And it's actually one that's fueling my walk with Jesus so much at the moment that that's where we're going. So I hope it's okay that this is a Dave night. Nod at me, please. Oh, good. Thanks. Basically, I was on this weekend away, and with I was talking to an age group of about 14 to, they were 14 to like 20-year-olds. And this was the second talk, and the talk was entitled, "Building Your Life on a Firm Foundation So That When the Storms of Life Come, We Can Stand." And when I heard... the title of that talk, I thought, oh, great. And then when I saw the passage that they'd given me, I thought, oh, great again. You know, it's just, it's about building our house, or building your house on the firm foundation. And I kind of thought, I know the talk that I'm supposed to give. Do you know what I mean? I know what I'm supposed to say. And so I jokingly did. I got up and I said, okay, boys and girls, don't smoke, don't do drugs, don't get drunk, read your Bible, pray, thank you very much. And I walked off. Because I guess that, in that context, is kind of what you feel that you're supposed to say, you know, how do we... But then I was thinking, actually, if the rock is our performance, it's not a very good rock. If the rock is how we are doing, if I'm supposed to tell these kids, you know, how to behave, then that's not a very good rock at all, because that rock moves. That rock, you might be having a really good day with Jesus, and then the next you might not be. So the rock that you need to build your life upon needs to be immovable. It needs to be something that no matter how your day is going, no matter how your Monday morning looks, no matter how you know, whatever is going on in your life, the rock needs to be immovable. And so I said to these children and young people,
and adults. It's a mix.
The rock that we build our lives on is Jesus, and it is his death and resurrection. And everything else flows from there. So I guess I wanted to think about that a little bit tonight and just come back to the simplicity. I'm loving, there's a song, I've got an album at the moment, and it's entitled The Simple Gospel. And the song in it says, I will rejoice in the simple gospel. And even Paul's into repeats, right? He said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. So we're just going to rejoice again in the simple gospel tonight. That, and I think that's a good thing as we go into, you know, Lent. It's Pancake Tuesday, come on, and Ash Wednesday this week, which we have a service, 8 p.m., come along. But as we go into this season of Lent, looking to Easter, and as we think about perhaps the storms in our own lives, and they might be big storms, or they might just be the anxiety that you feel on Monday morning, I think the death and resurrection of Jesus has a lot to say to us. First things first, the death and resurrection of Jesus has forever brought us into union with God. And I tell you what, I loved telling these young people that. I loved telling them that there was nothing they could do to get closer to God. Because that's something I'd struggled with for so much of my Christian walk. Getting closer to God. And it was so good to tell these guys that they had been brought close to God because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that is rejoicing in the simple gospel. That right now, we are as close to God as we can be. We can't add to the work of Jesus. We can't add to what he's done. He's brought us right into the family of God. And yes, we get to grow as Christians, but it's from that place of being totally brought into God's presence. I love this quote. Consider the analogy of a vine and a branch. It is impossible for a branch to grow any closer to the vine than it already is. The two are physically connected. There is no breach that is progressively being filled. Now, does the branch continue to grow? Yes, it even flourishes, buds, and bears fruit. But is it growing towards union or because of union? And I guess the great thing is we grow in our Christian faith, and we learn to weather the storms of life from a place of being totally connected to God, totally filled with the Holy Spirit, totally within the circle of that family of God. It's all his work, and that is the rock. You know, we can lean on a rock, and we can lean on this work of Jesus. He has totally brought us into fellowship with himself. I then started to think about what are some of the storms that we might face, and how does the death, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, how does that help us in the storms? And I was thinking of the storm of getting it wrong. The storm of feeling like you've stuffed up again. The storm of feeling like you're worthless, the storm of carrying guilt and shame.
What does The Rock have to say about that? Well, the cross and the resurrection has everything to say about that. You see, God is so concerned about reminding us of who we are, that we are His, that we're loved, that we're holy, and that at the cross He totally and utterly dealt with our sin and our shame. We can say with confidence, because of the cross, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? It's not a trick question. Yes. So there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He has dealt with our sin. The story that I love in helping me think through that storm of getting it wrong, of feeling like you failed, that storm of feeling worthless and how do I connect with God again, is the story of the prodigal son. You know, we all know that story, and it's a beautiful story. I particularly have found that how it's translated in the Message version just really speaks to me about how God sees us when we feel that we failed, when we feel like we're carrying guilt, that we're carrying shame. And I'm going to read you a section of the story of the prodigal son from the Message. It says this. That brought him to his senses. He said, "All those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day. And here I am, starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as your hired hand.'" It's funny, isn't it? I think that's often the way we think when we are struggling with guilt and shame, and when we've got it wrong again. And we view God as, you know, "Oh, I've just done it again. I don't deserve to be called your son." He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started his speech. "Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again." And now this is the bit that I love. But the father wasn't listening. But the father wasn't listening to the sin spiel, to the groveling, to the "I'm not your son." What was he doing? He was calling to the servants, "Quick! Bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead, now alive, given up for lost, and now found." And they began to have a wonderful time. I really love that version of that story, because I think actually it shows us what true repentance looks like. I think in our head, often repentance looks like the son doing his sin spiel. "Father, I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Take me back as a servant. I'll do my best." But the father wasn't listening. What was the father doing? He was encouraging his son in true repentance. He was reminding him who he was. He was putting the family ring on his finger. He was dressing him in clean clothes. He was getting him to sit at the table. He was restoring his sonship. He was reminding him of who he really was. That's true repentance. That's coming back into that embrace and allowing God to clothe us in our sonship, in our daughtership. That's the rock on which we can stand. What about the other storms of life? What about when you're just going through it and you don't know how you feel, or if anyone is there for you? I was just reminded that the cross reminds us of the unfailing love of God. The absolute unfailing love. That love that, Paul says in Romans, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At our lowest point, God completely poured himself out for us. It's the unfailing love of God. What an incredible picture of the depths of God's love towards us, that in our worst state, Christ died for us. His love goes on and on. Again in Romans it says, that nothing can separate us from that love. No height, no depth, no demon, no nothing, no storm of life can separate us from that love that was so radical that it didn't stop. It didn't stop, and it went to the grave. And even in the grave, it didn't stop. It couldn't be held down. That love came bursting back again. It's the unstoppable love of God. It's the love that we can build our lives on. It's the love that we can totally lean back on. I was telling these guys about faith, and I know I've done this here before. I'm going to do it again. Because it's Dave week. And I was telling them, the worst thing a Christian can say to you when you're going through a difficult time is to say, you just got to have faith. Just have faith. Just believe, But I was saying to them, well, what does faith really look like? And I said to them, I think faith looks like this. Got complete faith in this chair right now, that it's going to hold me up, because I know that chairs do that. And I can totally lean back into this chair's power to hold me up. And I think that's what faith looks like, especially when we're going through a storm, that we can lean back on that unfailing love of God. We've taught a lot that faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk, taking risks. And I think that's so true, and it's awesome when we take risks with God. And there's real faith in that. But I think faith is also spelled R-E-S-T, rest. When we can rest in all that Jesus has done for us. And we can lean back into that rock, into that unfailing love of God. I think that's what faith looks like sometimes in the storm. And I think this love of God as well. Another story that we looked at over this weekend was Jesus in the boat. And I love it, you know, when Jesus is in the boat and there's a storm and he's asleep. He's at rest. He's in faith in the midst of this storm. And the disciples have no faith, but they lean on his faith, on Jesus' faith to calm the storm, and he does. But I just love the message that Jesus is in our storm. And again, doesn't that show us something about the love of God, that he isn't a distant God, but whatever storm you may be in, we have Emmanuel, God with us. And whether that's your Monday morning when you're struggling to get out of bed, or whether that's because there's something going on in your life, we have a God who's in the boat with us. We have a God who's in the storm with us. And it just reminded me of a story that I Dave, moment here, I've shared. But I shared it at this weekend away, and it's amazing. It's a really old story of mine. When I shared it, the love of God just hit this place. And I was like, wow. So I'm going to share it again. It reminded me of this time that I went to Mozambique, and I had that whole thing of, yeah, I want to see miracles, you know. And I spent a lot of money to go to Mozambique to see miracles, because I knew that's, you know, I'd probably see miracles there, but I didn't. I didn't see one miracle while I was there. But the day that I thought is the most likely day of seeing miracles was the day that we all went to the UN hospital. Just incredible place, tents full of people, you know, in real need. And I was like really stoked up, because I was going to pray and I was going to see miracles and I was going to come home with incredible stories of, you know, clearing the hospital, you know, all this kind of stuff. Anyway, my friends, we all go in, and my friends get led off into this huge tent with lots of people. And I get led off into this small tent with two people. And there was this one boy called Johnny, and his heart wasn't working properly. He was very young. He must have been no more than 6 or 7, and his fingers had all kind of shriveled and turned black, and his toes had shriveled and turned black. And I knelt down to pray for Johnny, and I prayed my best, and didn't really see anything happen. And I was about to go on to the next person to get to see my miracle, and as clear as anything, the Lord said to me, stay. Stay. And for the remainder of that time, I just held Johnny's hand, because that's what our God's like. That's the love of God. It's the love that doesn't leave you in the storm. But it's the God who stays. And he's the God who cares. And he's the God who has compassion. And I would spend all the money in the world to go and learn that again. Because that's the power of God. That's the love of God. That's the heart of God. He doesn't just move on, but he stays. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So the cross reminds us that he deals with our guilt and shame. The cross and the resurrection remind us that his love is unending, unstoppable, and with us in the storm, in the boat. And his death and resurrection remind us that we're alive, that there's hope, that we're not that old, sinful scallywag, but we are new creations in Christ Jesus. That we have died with him and we have been raised to newness of life in him. And that is part of knowing Jesus, even in the storm, that there is hope and that there is life. And that he works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That the story doesn't end in sorrow, but there is rejoicing in the morning. That we've been given a brand new heart, that we're filled with light. This is our amazing hope, and it is the rock on which we stand. Shall we stand?